I want to stick with this now and bring in Jim Caron, Morgan Stanley Investment Management's fixed income portfolio manager. Jim, thanks so much for being with us. Just want to get your initial reaction to Powell's testimony. I know you watched this morning as well. Was there anything there that sort of made your ears perk up?
Well, first, let me thank you for having me on your show. And look, I'll say that this was pretty boilerplate. Nothing surprising, nothing startling, which is probably the goal of the Fed chair, is to not have anything groundbreaking come out in this. And, you know, I think the main point here is that the Fed's mandate is price stability and full employment. And that's the thing that he's going to hammer home to the politicians that are asking him questions, is he's got to make sure that people understand that he has got a good control over inflation. Full employment, you know, the unemployment rate is low, which is good. And, you know, people are coming back to work, which is also very good. But inflation is really the hot topic. And I think he gave the right type of a message, saying that we will use our tools to address this risk.
But then, thanks for coming on. He also would not admit that there is this tension between price stability and maximum employment. What do you make on that?
Yeah, so this is an interesting point here, right? Because, you know, maximum employment, who are we talking about? You know, what the Fed has been talking about is maximum employment needs to be broad and inclusive across all demographics. So the unemployment rate at 3.9% is the broad unemployment rate. But effectively, where the tension lies is that not everybody has 3.9% unemployment. For example, African American or Black unemployment is, you know, somewhere in the 6% handle area. So how does the Fed justify hiking interest rates at this time in trying to slow the economy when not all demographics are at such low unemployment rates? And the way that he answered and the way that he responded to that made a lot of sense. And what he said was that, well, I think that if we let inflation run too high, then that would actually have more deleterious effects on just the broader society. So therefore, that needs to come under control. So it is a little bit of a trade-off. And there is some tension there, I think, as you rightly point out.
Jim, to your mind, what's more important at this point, the Fed's attempts to normalize the balance sheet or those interest rate hikes? And I'm curious which one you think the market has already priced in.
So the market's already priced in interest rates. Interest rate hikes are yesterday's news. The Fed's either going 3 or 4 times this year. The market is perfectly comfortable with that. I think the main thrust of policy right now is to address the balance sheet. And the reason is that if the Fed just hikes interest rates, then effectively what they're going to do is flatten the yield curve. All they're going to do is bring 2-year rates up and 10-year rates are going to stay relatively low. And that's not going to create a tightening of financial conditions, which is what they're trying to do to control inflation. So ultimately, what I think is that interest rate policy is complementary to balance sheet policy, meaning that if you do more of one, you can do a little less of the other. So yes, they're going to hike interest rates. That's the story for 2022. But as we progress in 2022, the story is going to be much, much more evolving into how they evaluate what the optimal size of the balance sheet is and how they can use that as a tool to tighten financial conditions. And I think that's a lot more optimal, because what it does is it ends up pushing up back-end rates, which I think is the right thing to do at this point, while keeping front-end rates, still within a normal area. So yes, the Fed hikes interest rates, but they also use the balance sheet to minimize the amount of front-end rates that they actually have to hike. So if people who are calling for just more aggressive Fed rate hikes, I think are missing it. I think what they need to think about is the Fed should hike rates to an optimal level, and which is usually defined by the neutral policy rate, but they also need to use a shrinking of the balance sheet to tighten financial conditions as well, which can also bring up long-term rates as well. And I think that's a better outcome.
Hey, Jim, I'm wondering, you know, this was essentially a job interview for Powell. And how good a job do you think he's done? Because he basically admitted fumbling the ball when it comes to being behind the curve, when it comes to taming inflation, and blamed it on miscalculating supply chain issues. Does he deserve a second term? And then how does the Fed look moving forward? Because the economy is completely different looking than it was the past 4 years and moving into the next 4 years.
Yeah, I think we have to step back and look at where we were 6 to 9 months ago. And what the big fear from the Fed was that when we have this, you know, this virus running through the economy and, you know, through all of the people, sadly, that effectively the risk was that we actually fall into a very, very slow economic growth period, and that what they would rather do is overshoot to the upside. So here we are with the benefit of hindsight, looking back 6 to 9 months, we can probably conclude, and I think Powell does as well, that they've probably overshot, that they've added much too much stimulus at this point. So now they're in the process of correcting that overshoot. So by doing that, what they're going to do is start raising rates, and they're going to start removing some of the emergency measures that they put into the economy, like quantitative easing. They're going to reverse that. They're going to start to shrink the balance sheet. So to that extent, I would argue that, yes, Powell does deserve the job again. I think that he's earned that. I think it's been a very, very difficult situation. And I also think that he's navigated this reasonably well. I'm not going to say he's been perfect about this. I do wish that they addressed the balance sheet earlier, because for me, this was a really, really big sticking point. But I'm glad that they're starting to talk about this much, much more seriously. And the talks are just beginning. The talk for policy in 2022 is much less going to be about interest rates, and it's much more going to be focused on reducing and shrinking the Fed's balance sheet and thinking about and quantifying what the optimal balance sheet level is. And that's something that not a lot of academic rigor has been put towards, and there are no white papers from the Fed that are giving us any hints about it.
Yeah, good point. And Jim, before we let you go, real quick, as Morgan Stanley's fixed income portfolio manager, where do you see the biggest opportunity for investors in the fixed income space this year?
So for me, the biggest opportunity is going to be in the emerging market space. So where I come down on this is I do believe that inflation is peaking this year. I think that we're going to see a peak in the inflation rate sometime in the first quarter. Starting in the second quarter, inflation is going to start to come down. Now, that's in the developed markets. That's in the United States. What we have to remember is that emerging market central banks have been hiking all of 2021, and they're continuing to forecast more rate hikes going forward. So that means that emerging market yields have gone up substantially, and emerging markets FX could stand to appreciate substantially as well, as people, you know, like myself, start to think about investing in emerging markets going forward, because bond yields are relatively high there. Real yields are very, very high there. They're some of the highest in the world. And we have the potential that many of these emerging market central banks that have forecasted rate hikes will now start to turn more towards neutral and possibly dovish as we move towards the end of 2022. So many of these bonds stand to appreciate and attract a lot of inflows, which may help their currencies appreciate as well. I think that's the best alpha opportunity for 2022 in fixed income.
All right, Jim Caron, thanks so much. Appreciate your time today.